Hi, this is Gerald McKinney. You're listening to the Wildcast, hosted by Wally.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park. A jam-packed show coming up for you. Jarek Jet McKinnon joins us to talk about last week's win and this week's game. We preview the Packers. We have some of your mail. It's going to be awesome. But first, I'm going to bring in producer and co-host Chris Corso, who is in the midst of an awesome week because his football team won on Monday night and his baseball team advances throughout the playoffs. You're in a good mood, dude.
It's been a good week, Wobby. I have to say, seeing the win at Soldier Field, which we know doesn't happen too often.
Yep.
And then I hate to bring it up, but my Yankees coming up in the clutch and beating the number one seed Cleveland Indians. It has been a fun week in all of sports, and I'm looking forward to doing it against Green Bay on Sunday.
You can bring it up in here because I'm cool with the Yankees. Do not bring it up with special teams coordinator Mike Prefer.
Yeah, he doesn't like me right now.
He's a big Indians fan.
I've seen him in the hallway a few times. He called me his mortal enemy this week.
Okay.
I haven't seen him yet today. I avoided his press conference today, and I will continue to avoid him for a few days.
That's a good idea. I think you should do that. All right, let's not keep everyone waiting. Let's not keep Jarek McKinnon waiting. Let's get right to Jet. Jet's the guest today. He obviously had a pivotal role in the Vikings' win over the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field on Monday Night Football, and he will likely have an important role on Sunday. So we thought we'd talk to Jarek and give you guys, hopefully, a cool interview. So we hope you like it. Jarek talks about the Bears, the Packers, touchdown celebrations, and more. Here is Jarek McKinnon.
All right, so we have Jarek McKinnon here and a surprise guest. And I guess it makes some sense because wherever Jarek goes, this guy is probably leading the way. It's CJ Ham, fullback CJ Ham. What's up, dude?
What's going on?
How are we feeling after this win over the Bears?
Feeling real good. We're ready to get the job done this weekend.
Yeah. The Green Bay Packers defense, when you look at that, what are you seeing out of the Green Bay Packers?
Aggressive team, obviously well-disciplined.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're very prepared and we're ready to go.
Why do you think Jarek McKinnon can get so many yards from scrimmage in a game?
My man's pretty versatile, you know. Yeah. I mean, he's got the speed, he's got the hands. You know, he can pretty much do it all.
Yeah, when you see a guy go down like the way Dalvin did, obviously you feel bad for him and then you root for him to get back there and all that. But inside the room is a kind of like, hey, we all got to step up and you know, do a little bit more to help our team out. Is that the mentality?
Yeah, most definitely. It's definitely next man up in our room. You know, we're all praying for Dalvin. He's going to have a great recovery. And, you know, we're ready to go.
All right. Jarek had like 7,000 yards from scrimmage at Soldier Field to help us beat the Bears, including a 58-yard touchdown. How was that, man? That was fun to watch.
It was great. You know, the best thing about it was, you know, just celebrating with my teammates. Yeah. You know, just coming to the sideline, you know, celebrating with Coach P, Tay, you know, everybody else, CJ, you know, there's no better feeling. So, looking forward to this weekend. We know we got a tough task, and, you know, everybody's, you know, on their assignment, and we're getting ready.
What do you think about touchdown celebrations? I mean, Rudy orchestrated a pretty good one.
Yeah.
We've seen some other good ones across the league.
Yeah.
You got any fancy ones in store for us? Ooh, I'm not trying to spoil it. Okay, sounds like we do have something.
Okay, yeah, we always got something, but
okay, good.
Yeah, the one last week by Rudy and those guys, I'd probably say that's probably the top one so far. I really liked that one, so yeah.
League wide top one
that I've seen. I haven't seen everyone, but that's definitely.
Is it Duck Duck Goose or Grey Duck?
Duck Duck Goose. Duck Duck Goose.
Gray Duck, man.
Gray Duck.
All right, let me tell you this.
Down south we call it Goose.
Okay, that's fine. We're happy for you down south.
Northern Minnesota, we call it Goose.
Here's the deal.
Oh,
you're killing my case right here, CJ. Here's the deal. Where do ducks live? Lakes, right?
True.
What state has the most lakes of any state in the country? Minnesota. So we are the authority on ducks.
Okay.
And we say it's duck, duck, gray duck.
Okay.
When in Rome, do as the Romans.
You're right, but down south, we're still going to call it Goose.
Well, fine. If you score a touchdown down south, you can play Duck, Duck, Goose if you want, all right?
We play Atlanta.
We play Carolina. We play Atlanta. All right? So you have a chance. I love that you have some touchdown. Now, you have Zim's blessing, by the way, because during the week, he said, if these guys are scoring a bunch of touchdowns, they can celebrate, and I might jump in with them. So I think you're good to go. as long as this doesn't cost us 15 yards.
Nah. All everything right. is done within the rule book.
We all
talk about it, so no flags coming from that.
All right.
Key to beating the Green Bay Packers. I don't want to say beating because it's going to take the whole team to beat the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just focus on offense.
Mm-hmm.
The key for the offense to do well against the Packers is?
Stay on track. Limit the penalties. Score points. When you're in the red zone, try to come away with six instead of three.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with three, but we want touchdowns. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's going to take four quarters against this team, man. We got to outplay them for four quarters.
That's right. All right, one of my favorite people in the world, Jarek, is your mom. Say hi to your mom because I know that she is listening to this.
Oh, hey, Mom. How you doing? I miss you. And I actually will see you this weekend. So, yeah.
You coming?
Yeah.
All right, good. We're happy to hear that. All right, guys. Thanks, CJ.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you. Thanks, Jarek.
Appreciate you.
All right. All right, our thanks to Jet for taking a few minutes out of his week to chat with us on the Wobcast. Obviously, it's been a long time since Jarek has had so many requests during a week, so he's doing interviews all over the place. He was kind enough to give us a few minutes, so we appreciate that. Now let's move on. Let's talk about this win we had over the Chicago Bears before we start talking about the green and gold. Obviously, Case Keenum comes in relief of Sam Bradford. Sam had to leave just before halftime with an injury. Keenum comes in 17 of 21, 140 yards, and a touchdown in place of Sam Bradford, leading us to a 20-17 victory over the Chicago Bears. The win moved the Vikings to 3-2 overall, 1-1 in the NFC North. Everson Griffin had another sack. He's got at least one sack in every game this season. And we created two turnovers on those Chicago Bears. My favorite part of the game, Chris, I think, outside of winning, was Jerry Burns had an old saying when he was a coach. He still says it. The big knockers got to make the big plays. Well, Everson Griffin, strip sack. We recover. We kick a field goal to take a lead at halftime. Harrison Smith, interception. We get the ball. We drive down. We kick a field goal to win the game. The big knockers made the big plays.
That's right. Seeing those two big guys coming up with the big plays. Everson Griffin was actually my player to watch. I've seen him sack the quarterback in every game this season,
yep.
And he's been right around the ball with the quarterback, kind of just missing it so far this year. And did he bat it down in this game.
Yep.
It was good to see him get to a rookie quarterback. And then, of course, the play of Harrison Smith. I think he saved the day. You never know with Mitchell Trubisky coming in his debut with 2 minutes, looking to drive down the field for the game-winning drive. And, man, did Harry put that to a halt real quick. That was good to see.
Yeah, really good play by Harrison Smith. He's got two picks on the season now. Would love to see him get another one against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. So we're super happy about the win, but it's a short week. Getting ready for one of the best teams in the NFL, maybe the best quarterback in the NFL, in Aaron Rodgers. So let's preview the Packers, Chris. Let's run through what's on your mind as we get set to play the leaders of the NFC North on Sunday.
Well, with the Packers, we're looking at the Vikings' all-time most familiar opponent. 113 times overall we've played them. 51, 60, and 2. So they got the edge over us in the overall numbers. But the last regular season game, we played them at US Bank Stadium. It was the opening game, and we won 17-14. Man, that was some kind of night.
Right,
some
so kind of that was our last home game against the Packers. So that's one thing that the Packers don't have on us.
But
they don't have a win at US Bank Stadium. They can't win here.
That's right. They
try and keep it that way.
And that's what we're hoping will continue, because we did lose to them 38-25 in the last game at Lambeau Field. With that crazy travel that we had when we went off the tarmac there on the airplane.
Yeah.
That was a rough one, but we did beat them at US Bank Stadium.
Yeah, and see, that's what we got to focus on. We got to focus on the positive trends, okay?
Good.
That's what I told Zim after the game in Chicago. I sent him a text. We're on the buses going back to the airport, and I'm thinking, I'm like, yeah. I mean, because all Zim has heard is the Vikings can't win at Soldier Field. They've only won there twice in 16 years. Now it's 3 in 17 years,
yep.
Right? Forget that trend. It's 2 out of 3. Zimmer has won 2 out of 3 games at Soldier Field, 2 of the last 3. He's 2-2 overall as Vikings head coach at Soldier Field. But in the last 3 years, he's won twice. So I'm like, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. The Packers have never won at US Bank Stadium, and we're just going to keep it that way.
That's right.
All right.
Hopefully we keep it that way.
All right, let's get to know the enemy a little bit. Chris, run through some of the Packers' top threats, and we'll talk about them.
All right, well, know your enemy. We're starting out with two Aarons. You know Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
He completed 19 of 29 passes for 221 yards and 3 touchdowns. No interceptions against the Dallas Cowboys. He had his second game-winning drive of the season, bringing the Packers down the field to win the game against the Dallas Cowboys last week, which was I would say, a statement win on the road. To see them go to 4-1, we don't like to see that. But he does have 3 interceptions this year, which is a high number for him through 5 games. He has 13 touchdowns and 1,367 passing yards, which is 4th in the NFL. So you know you got a guy in Aaron Rodgers that we are going to have to do our best to stop. And it was kind of funny listening to Coach Zimmer, what he had to say in his press conference.
Week. Well, he thinks the Packers should trade him.
That is, we know Zimmer's smart, but that was a wise statement.
That's a good idea. I think they should. I don't know why they wouldn't. They get a first round pick for him. I mean, everyone always thinks they can get a first round pick for the guy they trade. Why don't you trade Adrian Peterson? Why don't you trade this guy? Get a first round pick. You could get a first round pick for Rodgers. I think Ted Thompson should do that.
I would say so.
Yeah, Zim has been pretty funny talking about Rodgers, but it's not all in jest. Zim knows how good Rodgers is. So, you know, he knows he's got a challenge here. And I, even though it's very difficult to game plan for Rodgers, I know deep down that the competitive side of Zimmer and the gamer side of Zimmer, it's exciting, it's invigorating to game plan against Rodgers. I have a feeling that's how Zim feels about it, even though right now he's dreading going against him because of how good he is. But yeah, you're right. Zimmer has had some interesting comments about Rodgers this week. Let's listen to a few of them right here. Roll the tape.
Don't let him have the ball. You know, he's too good at that. He beat Cincinnati with 21 seconds left. He beat Dallas with no time left, basically. If he's got the ball in his hands, then you got a chance to end up losing the football game. So he does what he does. That never has changed. But I've been in the NFL 20 some years, and I can't remember a guy that does the things that this guy does. And we played against Brady and Manning, Peyton Manning, other Mannings, all these guys. This guy is, when you combine everything, his arm strength, his intelligence, his escapability, the way he sees things, I think they should trade him.
He's not obviously not the biggest, fastest guy in the world. Is there anything that he does to make himself so tough to get clean shots on to bring down?
He's elusive, and he's so smart. He sees where the open space is. He knows what the coverage is. A lot of times he's just playing with you as far as where he can go with. He knows, hey, if I give him a little extra time, I'm going to get this. He knows that at the end of the game, he tells the tackle to, like you're saying, he tells the tackle, hey, I'm going to roll out to my left. You pin the guy inside, I'm going to go to my left. He does that.
Okay, the next Aaron, who is he?
We're starting a segment here called Who is Aaron Jones? And Aaron Jones is the running back that was the starter for the Green Bay Packers last week. 19 carries and 125 yards and a touchdown against Dallas. He also had a run where he was tackled right at the goal line there. It could have been 2 touchdowns. This guy is a rookie, and he is leading the backfield right now because Ty Montgomery did break his ribs a couple weeks ago against the Bears. So we don't know if Montgomery will be back this week. So we need to know who Aaron Jones is. And he is a guy who Aaron Rodgers said can easily be the starter for the Green Bay Packers going forward at running back. And we're looking back to his college days since he's a rookie. The University of Texas El Paso is where he played.
Yeah, UTEP, man. I remember watching some of his tape in the pre-draft buildup. Everyone thought the Vikings might take a running back, so I identified 10 or 12 who should have been drafted and watched him, and Aaron Jones was one of them, and I thought he was really good at UTEP. Of course, you always question the caliber of opponent when you play at UTEP, and that can be a knock on you, so maybe that's why Aaron Jones fell to the 5th round, which is where the Packers got him. But I think the guy's good, and it's hard not to think he's good. He had 125 yards rushing and 1 touchdown against Dallas last week. So you got to be careful with him. If he's got 125 yards against us, we're dead. He can't have that many against us. So we got to try and contain him, because if you can't contain him, you're not going to contain the most important Aaron on the field, and that's Aaron Rodgers. So we've been pretty good against the run this season. We're 10th according to the numbers, but I think in reality we're probably even a little bit better than that. Our run defense has looked very good this season, and it needs to look very good on Sunday against these Green Bay Packers.
And listening to what Aaron Rodgers said earlier in the week, he said that Aaron Jones can be their starting running back, as I said. Looking back at his days at UTEP, he averaged 7.7 yards per carry in his senior season, and he had 5 200-yard rushing games in his career there. So he can break out for a big run, as he showed last week.
All right, wide receiver targets. Always a bunch of good ones in Green Bay. Of course, Rodgers makes them good, but these guys are legit good. So who's on your mind?
So you're looking at Jordy Nelson, and we know that number 29, Xavier Rhodes, will be guarding Jordy because he has a team high in 6 touchdown catches this season. He did get injured in that game against Dallas, but he looks like he's practicing this week. Adding on his 230 yards so far this season, he is definitely Rodgers' top target.
Great route runner, too, by the way.
Yes.
Jordy Nelson, very good route runner. Who's next?
Next is Devontae Adams. We saw him go down with a big hit by Danny Trevathan of the Chicago Bears a few weeks ago. He did return last game against Dallas, 7 grabs, 66 yards, and 2 touchdowns in that game. He looks like he's himself again, and he leads Green Bay with 285 yards and also has 4 more touchdowns to add on to Aaron Rodgers' total. So.
Randall Cobb, Martellus Bennett, running backs out of the backfield, all of them are threats when you're dealing with Aaron Rodgers. So the Vikings defense will have its hands full, obviously. But if the defense can do its job, get off the field against the Packers offense, then our offense can get on the field and do work against the Packers defense. What do you got on them?
Packers defense allowed a total of 408 yards of offense against a good offense in the Cowboys on Sunday, including 163 yards on the ground. Obviously, they have Ezekiel Elliott there, which is a tough guy to stop, and Dak Prescott, who can move as well in the pocket. 3 players have 1 interception in Green Bay, which is pretty good to note here with just 5 games into the season. Clay Matthews, obviously the veteran linebacker, and Nick Perry, each have 2.5 sacks this season. As we've always said, Clay Matthews seems to find the ball when he's playing against the Vikings, so he'll be a guy to keep an eye on. And the Packers defense ranks 11th in yards allowed per game, 321.2 yards, so they're kind of right in the middle of the pack there, and is 20th in points allowed per game, which is 22.4, so like we said, they're not the cream of the crop, but you don't want to downplay him, as they do take chances when you have a guy like
Aaron
Rodgers.
I think that's the key with their defense is that, you know, the Packers don't ask of their defense what the Vikings ask of their defense. The Vikings ask their defense to set the tone and the tempo for the game. The Packers defense is complementing the offense. You know, Aaron Rodgers scoring 25, 28, 30 points a game. You can play different defense. You can take chances. You can jump routes. You can send blitzes, all that stuff, because you know if you give up a big play or if the field position gets flipped on you or if you give up a score, you got 12 who's going to come out there and even the score right up on the next drive. So it's two different styles of defense, not just schematically, but also mindset-wise. And so I don't like to criticize the Packers defense, because when you talk about the Packers, you don't talk about their defense. You talk about Aaron Rodgers. That's how they win and lose, based on how Aaron Rodgers does. And that's how it's going to be in this game as well.
And they do have a couple of new additions in the offseason. Ahmad Brooks, who was a veteran linebacker from the San Francisco 49ers, he was released by the 49ers, and the Packers did pick him up, so he's another guy to keep an eye on in the middle of that defense. And then, of course, you have not the best secondary, but they do have a couple young players back there. Kevin King out of the University of Washington is a guy to keep an eye on there. As guys we can definitely go after in the passing game, whether it's Case Keenum or Sam Bradford, I think that's where you attack this defense, is down the field and through the air, and we're going after that secondary.
Yeah, well, you better protect then. You better block Mike Daniels, you better block Clay Matthews, and you better block Nick Perry.
All right. We're going to move on to stat of the week.
I got one.
You're starting it out. You're excited for
this. All right, I got one.
Right.
Because it's a first.
Yeah.
It's a first for Xavier Rhodes' career. We always, you know, the discussion with Xavier Rhodes is, how good is he? Is he the best corner in the NFL? Is he a shutdown corner? Has he arrived? Yeah, he's arrived. Chicago Bears targeted Xavier Rhodes 0 times on Monday night. That's the definition of being a shutdown corner. Is teams look at you and they say, nah, we're good. We'll go to the other side. Now, the Packers are not going to do that on Sunday. Rodgers is going to throw it at Xavier Rhodes, because Xavier's going to be on Jordy, and Rodgers loves Jordy, and Jordy's good, and Jordy's going to win his, probably. So this isn't going to happen on Sunday.
Nope.
But it is a stat of the week going into the game, is that fact that the Chicago Bears completely avoided Xavier Rhodes, and it's awesome to have a player on your defense who's that good.
Well, it was good growing up in New York because we had a guy like that with the Jets, and that was Darrelle Revis. And you would look at his stat sheet, and you wouldn't see that many tackles, you wouldn't see that many interceptions, but you did know that there weren't many passes going his way. So Xavier Rhodes is in that category. He is one of the top cornerbacks in the league. Ike Taylor, who is on NFL Network, we have his videos on Vikings.com. He is a big supporter of Xavier Rhodes, regards him as the best cornerback in the league, and I think he's definitely in that category with where Revis was about 5 to 10 years ago, and Rhodes has become that guy. He might even be more athletic than Darrelle Revis and cover more. He's a longer corner, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's longer. Maybe he's faster. Didn't Xavier have like one of the fastest timed plays last year for
on
a defender?
That play against the Arizona Cardinals? He was timed as the fastest runner on the field on offense or defense all season last
year. There you go. So he's got speed, he's got length, he's physical. I'm not going to compare him to Darrelle. Better athlete or not or whatever. Darrelle was really good. Xavier's really good. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm glad we got 2-9 on our side.
All right. Now my stat of the week is on the other side of the ball, and it's highlighting our offense. It's highlighting our two quarterbacks that have played so far this season.
Okay.
The Vikings have not thrown an interception through five games in 2017, tying a team record that was set last season for consecutive games without throwing an interception.
Hold on. Hold on.
We're knocking on wood.
That was me knocking on wood.
I know. It's tough to bring that stat up.
Pretty cool.
It's kind of like saying that a pitcher who is throwing a perfect game actually bringing that up, which is usually kind of bad.
Cardinal sin in baseball.
That's right.
Is to talk about the no-hitter that is ongoing.
That's right. So we did bring it up. It was in the game release. Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Love our quarterbacks being responsible with the football.
That's
excellent.
Right. And it's been good to see for Case Keenum to come in, fill in, playing two tough environments in Pittsburgh and Chicago, and be able to protect the football.
Yep, got to keep doing that. You give the Packers extra possessions, you're going to give them extra points. You don't want to do that. All right, fan mail. We're going to wrap up this show with fan mail. It's one of my favorite things to do, whether it's articles or audio or video stuff. The pick six for video, fan mail for audio, Monday morning mailbag for articles. I love it when you guys ask questions and we answer them because you guys are dictating the content. So we know that what we're giving you is stuff that you like. So Chris, you've picked out three emails. Let's get to them and answer these questions.
All right, let's do it. The first one is from Alex from Wisconsin. We love our purple supporters out there in Wisconsin. So we're going to go with what he had to say this week. The one thing that stuck out to me, besides the obvious play of Case Keenum, was the play of number 55.
Anthony Barr.
That's right. After virtually a disappearing last season, which we don't know if we agree with that.
I don't think he disappeared, but I get what he's saying. Yep, yep.
It's nice to see him around the ball, usually in the backfield, and playing fast.
Mm-hmm.
He seems motivated and hungry. He might not have been the guy making the play on Monday night, but he was the guy blowing up the play so someone else could. What do you think, Wobby?
I think Alex is 100% right. I think Anthony Barr is off to a great start this season. He looks motivated, fast, and most importantly, he looks healthy, which I don't think he was the last two seasons. He was healthy all offseason, all of training camp, all of the preseason, and he's healthy right now, and I think we're seeing what happens when Anthony Barr is healthy and is playing fast. And look, Anthony Barr saw Linval get paid. He saw Everson get paid. He saw Xavier get paid.
He's like,
hey, guys, over here. How about me? So he's playing like he wants to get paid. And if he keeps playing like this, my man number 55 is getting paid. Lunch is going to be on him for a long time. I think our defense is awesome. I think it's the best defense in the NFL. And number 55, the way he's playing, is a big reason why.
Well, we did point out one play against the Chicago Bears where Anthony Barr really did stand out, and that was a play on Tariq Cohen, who has been one of the most explosive running backs in the NFL so far.
Yeah, we shut that guy down.
We shut him down, and a big play was on a screen pass from Mitch Trubisky where he leaked out there, and Anthony Barr was able to come up with the big tackle. He was one player who would be able to break a tackle and go for about 50 yards on that play, and Anthony Barr was the one to shut him down. So that was good to see.
All right, what's next?
All right, next we got Joe from Myrtle Beach. After letting Trubisky escape the pocket a few times, what will we do to keep Rodgers in the pocket?
Got to rush smartly. And when, you know, some quarterbacks the rush plan is, hey, everyone, beat your guy, meet at the quarterback. You cannot do that with a mobile quarterback like Rodgers and a quarterback with an eye for the rushing lane like Rodgers and a quarterback who can run for yards or run to pass like Rodgers. What you have to do is have all of your rushers, whether you're rushing with 3, 4, or 5+, everyone has to know what the rush plan is. You have to know, do we have a spy on Rodgers or not? And if you don't, you have to rush him the right way so that you don't open up a lane for him to run through. And so you want to be aggressive and get after him, but you don't want to lose your mind and forget your lane integrity. Everyone's got to be smart. You cannot let him escape. We did let Trubisky escape a few times, and fortunately, he didn't really make us pay for it.
Yep.
Rodgers is going to make you pay. Stafford's done it to us a little bit. Rodgers will definitely do it to us. So among other things, like be careful with your substitutions because he'll catch you with 12 men on the field. Don't jump off sides because he'll get a free play. Among those things, you got to rush him smartly. You can't just pin your ears back and get after it. You got to know what everyone else is doing, and you can't leave him a lane to run through.
Well, one thing that Zimmer did note in his press conference was looking at the film of Aaron Rodgers, and he saw that he's going up to his offensive lineman, whether it's a tackle, guard, whatever. He's letting them know, let that guy through there because I'm rolling out this way. He likes to be out in open space and yep. moving with the ball, and he likes to improvise, as we've said. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where he can be at his best. So he does notice things in the defense.
Yeah.
Hopefully Mike Zimmer will be able to combat that.
And don't get me wrong, like if you keep him in the pocket, he'll dagger you from the pocket too. Yep. But at least then you know what you're dealing with and you can rely on your coverage. When you let him out and he's scrambling and improvising, like the coverage breaks down. You can't guard a guy yep. for 6 seconds. You just can't. I mean, it's just these athletes are too good at this level. So, you know, you can't let him extend plays. You got to keep him in the pocket and get after him.
All right. Well, we're going on to the next one, and it's from Michael Adams. Just curious if we have any plans of adding another running back, mm-hmm. like third string wise, or maybe we just keep CJ Ham out there.
Maybe we'll add a third running back. You know, I mean, we had Stephen Ridley last week, then we cut him so before the game so we could make room for Floyd. Of course, you can do that.
Yep.
You have McKinnon, you have Murray, and you have CJ Ham, who's a converted running back. He's playing fullback right now for us, but he was a running back until this spring. So I think having CJ Ham on the roster gives you the roster flexibility to not have to have a third running back. When Dalvin Cook was healthy, it was Cook, McKinnon, and Murray, all active for every game. So Cook goes out, and you're thinking, okay, well, that's one of the three who's out, so we got to get a third running back. You don't have to when you have CJ Ham. So we could add a third running back again. I just don't see it happening, at least not this week. And even if we do it this week, I don't think that guy would be active. And I think a big reason why is the versatility of CJ Ham. And another reason you can do that is if you need CJ as a running back, you have a guy like David Morgan or Blake Bell who can kind of be that H-back type of player. So I don't see a third running back being added anytime soon, and if it is added anytime soon, I don't think that back will be active on game day. All right, is that it?
I think that's it.
That's a show. We want to thank Jerick McKinnon for joining us. The guy's busy, but he gave us a few minutes, so that was super awesome of him. We love Jet. We hope he has another great game. We want to thank you all for listening. You made it to the end of the podcast, so that's an accomplishment. And we encourage you to stay tuned to Vikings.com and to all of the Vikings social media platforms now, over the weekend and next week as we bring you continuous coverage of your favorite team. A couple of things to note. If you haven't downloaded the Vikings app, make sure you do that. All of our content delivered straight to your mobile device. Photo galleries, articles, videos, press conferences, written stuff like the Monday Morning Mailbag, all that good stuff. Audio like the Wobcast delivered straight to your favorite mobile device via the Vikings app. Also, iHeartRadio has an app, and there's a Vikings channel on the iHeartRadio app. So download the iHeartRadio app, search the Vikings channel, and you'll find all of our great content on there as well. On behalf of producer and co-host Chris Corso, and on behalf of your favorite starting running back for the Vikings, Jerick McKinnon, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, signing off for now. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. Talk to you next week.